The nest is nothing but an empty shell. The wasps have vanished in pursuit of the others. I don't think they'll return, but I don't want to risk it. I scamper down the tree and hit the ground running in the opposite direction of the lake. The poison from the stingers makes me wobbly, but I find my way back to my own little pool and submerge myself in the water, just in case any wasps are still on my trail. After about 5 minutes, I drag myself onto the rocks. People have not exaggerated the effects of the tracker jacker stings. Actually, the one on my knee is closer to an orange than a plum in size. A foul-smelling green liquid oozes from the places where I pulled out the stingers. The swelling, the pain, the ooze, watching Glimmer twitching to death on the ground. It's a lot to handle before the sun has even cleared the horizon. I don't want to think about what Glimmer must look like now. Her body disfigured, her swollen fingers stiffening around the bow. The bow. Somewhere in my befuddled mind, one thought connects to another, and I'm on my feet, teetering through the trees back to Glimmer. The bow, the arrows, I must get them. I haven't heard the cannons fire yet, so perhaps Glimmer is in some sort of coma, her heart still struggling against the wasp venom. But once it stops and the cannon signals her death, a hovercraft will move in and retrieve her body, taking the only bow and sheath of arrows I've seen out of the games for good. And I refuse to let them slip through my fingers again. I reach Glimmer just as the cannon fires. The tracker jackers have vanished. This girl, so breathtakingly beautiful in her golden dress the night of the interviews, is unrecognizable. Her features eradicated, her limbs 3 times their normal size. The stinger lumps have begun to explode, spewing putrid green liquid around her. I have to break several of what used to be her fingers with a stone to free the bow. The sheath of arrows is pinned under her back. I try to roll over her body by pulling on one arm, but the flesh disintegrates in my hands and I fall back on the ground. Is this real? Or have the hallucinations begun? I squeeze my eyes tight and try to breathe through my mouth, ordering myself not to become sick. Breakfast must stay down. It might be days before I can hunt again. A second cannon fires, and I'm guessing the girl from District 4 has just died. I hear the birds fall silent, and then one give the warning call, which means a hovercraft is about to appear. Confused, I think it's for Glimmer, although this doesn't quite make sense because I'm still in the picture, still fighting for the arrows. I lurch back onto my knees, and the trees around me begin to spin in circles. In the middle of the sky, I spot the hovercraft. I throw myself over Glimmer's body as if to protect it, but then I see the girl from District 4 being lifted into the air and vanishing. Do this, I command myself. Clenching my jaw, I dig my hands under Glimmer's body, get a hold of what must be her rib cage, and force her onto her stomach. I can't help it. I'm hyperventilating now. The whole thing is so nightmarish, and I'm losing my grasp on what's real. I tug on the silver sheath of arrows, but it's caught on something, her shoulder blade, something, and finally yank it free. I've just encircled the sheath with my arms when I hear the footsteps. Several pairs. Coming through the underbrush, and I realize the careers have come back. They've come back to kill me, or get their weapons, or both. But it's too late to run. I pull a slimy arrow from the sheath and try to position it on the bowstring, but instead of one string, I see 3, and the stench from the stings is so repulsive, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm helpless as the first hunter crashes through the trees, spear lifted, poised to throw. The shock on PETA's face makes no sense to me. I wait for the blow. Instead, his arm drops to his side. What are you still doing here? He hisses at me. I stare uncomprehendingly as a trickle of water drips off a sting under his ear. His whole body starts sparkling as if he's been dipped in dew. Are you mad? He's prodding me with the shaft of the spear now. Get up! Get up! I rise, but he's still pushing at me. What? What is going on? He shoves me away from him hard. Run, he screams. Run! Behind him, Cato slashes his way through the brush. He's sparkling wet too and badly stung under one eye. I catch the gleam of sunlight on his sword and do as Peeta says, holding tightly to my bow and arrows, banging into trees that appear out of nowhere, tripping and falling as I try to keep my balance. Back past my pool and into unfamiliar woods. The world begins to bend in alarming ways. A butterfly balloons to the size of a house, then shatters into a million stars. Trees transform to blood and splash down over my boots. Ants begin to crawl out of the blisters on my hands, and I can't shake them free. They're climbing up my arms, my neck. Someone's screaming, a long, high-pitched scream that never breaks for breath. I have a vague idea it might be me. I trip and fall into a small pit lined with tiny orange bubbles that hum like the Tracker Jacker nest. Tucking my knees up to my chin, I wait for death. Sick and disoriented, I'm able to form only one thought. Peeta Mellark just saved my life. Then the ants bore into my eyes and I black out. Chapter 15. I enter a nightmare from which I wake repeatedly, only to find a greater terror awaiting me. All the things I dread most, all the things I dread for others manifest in such vivid detail I can't help but believe they're real. Each time I wake, I think, at last, this is over. But it isn't. It's only the beginning of a new chapter of torture. How many ways do I watch Prim die? Relive my father's last moments. Feel my own body ripped apart. This is the nature of the Tracker Jacker venom, so carefully created to target the place where fear lives in your brain. When I finally do come to my senses, I lie still, waiting for the next onslaught of imagery. But eventually, I accept that the poison must have finally worked its way out of my system, leaving my body racked and feeble. I'm still lying on my side, locked in the fetal position. I lift a hand to my eyes to find them sound, untouched by ants that never existed. Simply stretching out my limbs requires an enormous effort. So many parts of me hurt, it doesn't seem worthwhile taking inventory of them. Very, very slowly, I manage to sit up. I'm in a shallow hole, not filled with the humming orange bubbles of my hallucination, but with old, dead leaves. My clothing's damp, but I don't know whether pond water, dew, rain, or sweat is the cause. For a long time, all I can do is take tiny sips from my bottle and watch a beetle crawl up the side of a honeysuckle bush. How long have I been out? It was morning when I lost reason. Now it's afternoon, but the stiffness in my joints suggests more than a day has passed, even two, possibly. If so, I'll have no way of knowing which tributes survived that Tracker Jacker attack. Not Glimmer or the girl from District 4. But there was the boy from District 1, both tributes from District 2, and Peeta. Did they die from the stings? Certainly, if they lived, their last days must have been as horrid as my own. And what about Rue? She's so small, it wouldn't take much venom to do her in. But then again, the Tracker Jackers would have had to catch her, and she had a good head start. A foul, rotten taste pervades my mouth, and the water has little effect on it. I drag myself over to the honeysuckle bush and pluck a flower. I gently pull the stamen through the blossom and set the drop of nectar on my tongue. The sweetness spreads through my mouth, down my throat, warming my veins with memories of summer, and my home woods and Gale's presence beside me. For some reason, our discussion from that last morning comes back to me.
We could do it, you know.
What?
Leave the district. Run off. Live in the woods. You and I, we could make it.
And suddenly, I'm not thinking of Gale, but of Peeta. And Peeta. He saved my life, I think. Because by the time we met up, I couldn't tell what was real and what the Tracker Jacker venom had caused me to imagine. But if he did, and my instincts tell me he did, what for? Is he simply working the lover boy angle he initiated at the interview?
Or was he actually trying to protect me? And if he was, what was he doing with those careers in the first place? None of it makes sense.